Also, I want to thank all the volunteers that have taken time to make it possible. I know what it takes to make pathfindering possible. Not only do I go around the conference and see pathfinder programs in the churches, but I try to help out when I can at different clubs and functions. And I've worked with pathfinders, directed pathfinders in local clubs, been an area coordinator, and various places. And so I know it takes a lot of time. Been a parent of pathfinders. And so I know what it takes to be involved with that as well. It takes a lot of sacrifice. And so I want to thank those that have volunteered their times to come and help. I want to thank the staff that have sacrificed for making Pathfinders possible, because this ministry is so vital in sharing Jesus Christ. I will tell you, adults, you're probably pretty set in your ways, right? It takes a lot of dynamite to move you. But these young people are impressionable. They're forming their lives right now. And these are vital days, moments, and months. And now is the time to help them experience Jesus Christ. Thank you for the ministry that you're involved with. And it continues. I want to speak just a moment about Camp Cherokee. You collected an offering to help sponsor young people to Camp Cherokee, and that warms my heart because of what we're able to do, because of your church and the sisterhood of churches around our conference who are sponsoring young people to Camp Cherokee. We're putting together a team, and it's exciting, the team that we have of young people who are on fire to share Jesus Christ. I've already been meeting with them, talking with them. Our theme this year is "For Such a Time as This," based on Esther and her call. Of course, Mordecai challenging her that God has called her for such a time as this to stand up and be counted. And we will be doing that for the young people for such a time as this. Aren't we living in Earth's last moments of time? I believe that. And we're told that in Earth's last time frame, young people are going to be a vital part of Earth's final closing moments. And it's for such a time as this. They'll work hand in hand with adults, young adults, and youth to share God's final call. And for such a time as this, we're going to give the challenge this summer to young people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and share that relationship with others. They're friends. And that's our theme this summer. And so we're going to challenge them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I would just like to share, because I'm excited about our staff. Our staff for staff training has decided to have for their devotion time a study through the first chapters of Christ Object Lessons. And I'm already getting, they can hardly contain themselves as they're already doing that for devotions. They're having a difficult time resisting the urge of talking about it because they're so excited about what they're reading. As I'm talking to them, and so it's neat as they're sharing for ministry. Another thing that we're doing is I have a literature evangelist on staff who has been a team leader for 3 years, and she's felt called by God to be part of our team, and her job is going to help us in training our staff on personal witness at camp about sharing Jesus Christ, helping our staff focus on sharing Jesus Christ to our campers. And she's going to be vital in training our staff how to do that, how to share your personal testimony, how to help our staff be more effective in sharing Jesus Christ to the campers. And I'm excited that she's on board and she's excited. She has felt God. She turned us down, and she called me up and said, "Pastor Dan, God is not giving me any peace on this. I can't put a team together. I have always put teams together, and I can't pick one person. It's not happening. God will not give me rest." And it's just amazing how God is putting our team together. So thank you. Thank you for sponsoring the kids that come from your community. Thank you for making sure your kids from your church are coming to Camp Cherokee. We want to share Jesus Christ. We have a burden to share Jesus Christ. So thank you. Thank you for that ministry. Move, 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 move! It's an emergency! Move! I got one. Okay. When somebody screams fire, what would happen to this place? Well, you didn't go very far. But, okay, if somebody came in the door screaming fire, 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 where would you move? I had one that moved. Young people, you jumped, but you didn't move. Okay, you're not used to a whistle being blown in church, I see. I got everybody awake, though. Okay. When there's an emergency, somebody come in and yell, "Fire, move, run, get out, get out." Would you get out? But the question is, how far would you go? Out of danger. Well, how far is out of danger? How far is out of danger? Parking lot. Okay, your fire can't get past that, huh? So you only run so far. Okay, huh?
Go to heaven.
So to the street. Okay, you run for safety. Then what are you going to do? Yeah. Okay, we're a curious bunch, aren't we? We only go as far as we think it's safe, and then we're going to watch. Yeah, then we're going to watch. Fear is a great motivator, but only so far. Then we got to stop and watch. We're going to see what's going to happen. Right? So fear moves us. It can move us quick. It can startle us. It can jump us. We will move, but only so far and only for so long. Have you ever heard that Jesus is coming again? Okay, that can be a fear. It can motivate us, but only so far if that's the motivation. Have you ever heard, what if Jesus, is coming again today and we need to be ready? Have you ever heard that term? Okay, we got to be ready. That can be a fear motivator. What if you were to die today on the way home from church? Sadly, somebody might. What if that was used as a fear motivator? Unfortunately, it has been. But what if you were to die today? Would you be ready? Have you ever heard that term used? Okay, you have. That's a fear motivator. Well, did you die last Sabbath on the way home from church? Well, you're sitting here, so apparently not. Did you die the Sabbath before that? You didn't, because you're still sitting here. Okay, apparently you didn't. It's a fear motivator for the moment, but when you realize you're still sitting here, you hadn't died yet, then it doesn't work very long. You see, fear motivates us to move, but only short distances. And then we stop and look. We stop and see. Then we stop and we ignore. Okay? Fear is a motivator, but only for so long. And then we aren't motivated anymore. Okay? And that leads us to our Bible study today. Why Jesus? Why should we choose Jesus? And why should we choose Him today? Why? We have heard in this church, Jesus is coming soon. As long as I've been around, I heard him from ground up. And he hadn't come yet. I have heard, well, if you were to die today, would you be ready? I hadn't died yet. Some days I feel like it. But I hadn't. Poor motivator. Well, that's our study today. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we open your word, we ask for your spirit to guide us. Lord, I pray that the words I speak isn't my words. They be your words. I pray that you'll anoint our ears that we may hear your voice today. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Fear. Fear is a strange motivator in a way. It does some interesting things to us. It makes a heart race. I hope I didn't give anybody a heart attack. Nobody's popping those little pills, you know, stick under your tongue. Anyway, we didn't have to call an ambulance or anything like that. But, you know, fear, it does motivate us to move, but and Pathfinders, I see some of you have your Bibles. I need someone to look up Revelation 22. And I need two verses, Revelation 22. I want someone to look up verse 12 and another one to look up verse 20. Maybe we got this all wrong about Jesus coming soon. The Scripture maybe doesn't teach that. I don't know. We'll look that up in a minute. But Jesus, you know, I've heard it all my life. Jesus is coming soon. And so with Jesus coming soon, I wouldn't make it out of school. That's all right. I didn't like school anyway. I wouldn't have to study. Ooh, this assignment. Well, I wouldn't have to turn it in. I did want to learn how to drive a car. Okay? I would never be able to drive a car. I'd never be able to get married. I'd never have kids, you know. Now I have kids in college. You know, I've got kids that are dating. It's like, okay, they're driving cars. I'm surviving teaching my kids to drive cars. Woo! You talk about near-death experiences. Whoa. But where did this soon business come from anyway? Is it biblical? Revelation chapter 22, who's got verse 12? Okay, right here. We got a mic around here someplace, I thought. Just read it loudly. Okay, and behold, I'll come after a while. After a while? Quickly. Quickly. So is coming soon coming? Is it biblical? Verse 20. Who has verse 20? Somebody over here? Read it loud. Okay, I'm going to come in a long while. What's the Bible say? Okay, are we all messed up on our Bible, or is the Lord saying, I'm coming quickly? Okay, so we're not screwed up. That's what the Bible is saying. So, is it a lie, or is He coming soon, is what the Bible says? It's clear. But if that's my motivation to accept Jesus Christ, see, that's the problem. That's my motivation. Did He come yesterday? Did He come the day before? Did He come before that, the day before that? But if it's my motivation that He's coming quickly, did He come when I was 16? Did He come when I was 17? Did He come when I was 18? You see the problem. If I think and my motivation is that Jesus is coming quickly, and I'm tying it to that, and He didn't come quickly according to my definition, Then I say, he hadn't come yet. What say he's going to come today? You see? Then my motivation's out the window. So, in fact, we have an example of that with the 1844 movement. We have months before, weeks before, days before October 22, many people believing and joining the movement. Hundreds joining the movement right before October 22. What happened the day after? Jesus didn't come. What happened to the people? Some went back to their church, right? Most people gave up their religion altogether. Christianity, this is nuts. And they quit believing altogether. Only a very few said, I believe. I believe the Bible. It's just something's messed up here. My understanding isn't correct. The Bible's true. I know it is. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to keep studying. Only a very few hung on to that and kept studying. Only a very few. It shows that they believed, but when it didn't come true, it showed how many really had faith. Using Jesus coming long enough as a motivation to accept Him, it's like the boy who cried, wolf. It isn't happening, so I start ignoring it. The second part of fear. I need someone else to look up Ecclesiastes verses 9, or chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, please. Someone else looking up Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. This is the fear that, what if you were to die tonight? I've heard these things. I was raised a Seventh-day Adventist, and so, you know, I've heard these things used in accepting Jesus Christ. Why Jesus? Why now? Who has that text now? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, looking at 5 and 6. Now, I'm not saying these aren't true, but as a motivation to accept Jesus Christ, again, long enough, people then start ignoring the reason. And there's a better motivation. Someone have it. Okay, right there. Can you read it loud, nice and loud for us? Okay, the living know that they will die, but the dead know a lot. Oh, they don't know anything. Okay, verse 6. Okay, they're loving, or all the rest of it go keep going? No, it all stops. It all stops. You'd think their love for God, you know, if there was some spirit out there and they, you know, they were up in heaven and stuff, that their love for God would keep going. No, it all perishes. It all perishes. The living know that they will die, but the dead know not anything. Death is sure. Okay, so death's coming, so you got to accept Jesus, right? Amen. Now again, did you die yesterday? Did you die the day before that? Okay. Will you die someday?
Yes.
You will. But see how the mind works. Is death a great motivator to do something? No, because if you didn't die yesterday, then for young people, you aren't going to die today. Okay? Just look at YouTube. Look at all the stuff that young people do on YouTube. They're nuts. Okay? Absolutely nuts. Fearless. You don't have to be so young. I've seen some of the old people out there trying to be young too. Right? Doing all sorts of things. Fear is not a great motivator. Fear isn't one to push us to accept Jesus Christ. For young people, death is for those that are way old, like those over 35. Okay? Those that have gray hair or something. And so, you know, that doesn't do well. Some also say accepting Jesus Christ is like behavior modification. They use it as behavior modification. Okay? Now let me show you what I mean by behavior modification. Has anybody ever told you, now you wouldn't want to do that because if, you know, Jesus sees everything you do.
Yes.
And you wouldn't want Jesus to see you do that. That's behavior modification. Okay? I've heard it used. And another one for you longtime Adventists. Now, Ellen White says, Have you ever heard that one?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Horrible. Horrible. Now, we had a cat named Marmalade. Now, Marmalade was some cat. Let me show you Marmalade.
What's it at?
Can you tell what Marmalade was into?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, Marmalade's got his head stuck. He's got his head in the toilet. This is Marmalade up in the tree. I have never seen a cat chase a squirrel like a squirrel. Marmalade would love to go to camp. And I was in the cafeteria watching Marmalade chase a squirrel. And there went the squirrel across the yard. And there went Marmalade across the yard right after the squirrel. Squirrel went running up the tree like a squirrel does. You know, phoom, there went Marmalade right after the squirrel. Phoom, just like a squirrel. Right up the tree. It was like, whew. Well, Amanda decided, my daughter, she was going to teach Marmalade that when Marmalade wanted to go outside, to ring a bell. Now, you've heard about teaching dogs tricks, right? I'd never heard about teaching cats tricks. So, we have a bell. She hung on the door. And so she taught Marmalade that when he wanted to go outside, to reach up with his paw and ring the bell. Okay? Do you think she was successful? How many of you think Amanda was successful? Well, there's a few. How many of you think she was unsuccessful? How many of you are asleep because they're not voting? She was successful. She was successful in teaching. When Marmalade wanted to go outside, he'd reach up and ring the bell. So Amanda, when she would have Marmalade come into her room, she would take the bell off of the outside door and put it on her bedroom door so that when Marmalade was ready to go out of her bedroom, Marmalade would go over and ring the bell. She'd get up off her bed or off the chair or off the floor or whatever and go let Marmalade out. Marmalade rang the bell. Okay? You can teach cats to do tricks. Marmalade would ring the bell. Behavior modification. Now, when we get new cats, and we just got two new cats here in October, and you want cats to stay off certain furniture, like kitchen tables, kitchen counters, things like that. My mother laughed at me until I told her the trick, and she got two or three for each room, and she learned very quickly this is a very successful behavior modification. Cats don't appreciate water. You've done that before. That's right. So you take a water bottle, and when they get on the table, I got to get a good squirt here. There you go. Now he's going to pay attention. Behavior modification. There you go. Is anybody sleeping? I heard when I was a kid about the deacons of the church and the old timey churches having a stick with a nail on the end of it to poke those who were asleep or talking, right? I always feared that the deacons in my church would do that to us kids or something. Behavior modification. Again, we talk about Christianity as behavior modification. It's this kind of like the Santa Claus approach. You know the song, how it goes. He sees you when you're bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. We attribute that like to Jesus. You better be good because Jesus sees what you do. And He isn't going to like it if you're not good. And so He won't save you. He won't love you. And we use behavior modification to salvation, unfortunately. And is that true at all? No. No, not at all. And it's unfortunate that we do this stuff. Because there's no truth in it at all. What was it, a quarter ago, we studied Galatians in our Sabbath school, in the adult Sabbath school class. And Galatians is very clear, especially chapter 1, talking about this question. It isn't fear, it isn't our behavior. Then what? Why Jesus? Why now? Well, let me tell you, we're going to look at a couple other texts. I need someone to look up John chapter 3. And we want to look at verses 16 and 17. John chapter 3, 16 and 17. I need to look, have someone else look up Ephesians. If someone over here on this side, the girl's side over here, John 3, 16 and 17. Someone on the boy's side, look up Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Why Jesus? Why now? The reason is the goodness of God. It's not out of fear. It's not because He's coming soon and He's catching us off guard. There's some truth in that if we're not ready, yes. It is because we may die, yes. But the reason is it's not behavior modification. The reason is it's the goodness of God, the love that He has for us. Let's take a look at these texts. John chapter 3, I want to look at verses 16 and 17. Okay, let me stop you right here. Very first, verse 16 again, very first part. For God so loved... Okay, for God... Who did the loving?
God
did. We did the loving?
God.
Now, who started this again?
God.
For God... Now, wait a minute. What do I have to do about this? Now, how does Genesis 1:1 start? In the beginning, who? God. Wait a minute. Who starts off? Now, wait a minute. What do I have to do? In the beginning, God. Now, in John 3:16, we start off again with what? For who? Now, wait a minute. What's my part now? Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. I always thought it started with me, and I have to do all this stuff. John 3:16, we start off with who? For God. Wait a minute, but I thought I had to do all this stuff. And we're starting off with God. Okay, keep reading. John 3:16, for God. Now, wait a minute. I always thought that God was so angry at me that Jesus is up there pleading, oh, please, God, don't strike him down. But here it's saying, God the Father loved me so much that he sent Jesus. That's a whole different picture. Okay. I'm sorry to stop you, but we're straightening this mess out, what Scripture is saying here. Okay. Wow. What a text. We memorize it so much we don't understand it. We pass over it. We flippantly use it. I'm sorry. But this is a wonderful text. A wonderful text. Explains so much. Explains so much. For God the Father loved me, loved you so much that Jesus is sent in my and your behalf, that if we will accept it, we will be saved. What a story! What a story! Where's the fear in that? Where's the fear in that? What a story. Let's read the other text. Okay? Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. Who has it? Okay?
But God, who is rich in mercy,
okay, but again, who? But me. But God. Okay, but where am I again? But I have to do it, right? I have to be afraid. But God. Okay, but God, keep reading.
Who is rich in mercy.
Who is poor in mercy.
Rich
in mercy. He's rich. I would say, yes, he has streets of gold. He's rich. Yes, he's rich. He's filthy rich. He's got rich in streets of gold. But he's rich in what? Mercy. Mercy. You understand what these texts are saying? He's rich in mercy. Where's fear in mercy? Where is the fear in mercy? Wow. What is Scripture saying here today? Okay, rich in mercy.
For His great love, wherewith He loved us.
Did you catch this? Love. Where is fear and love? Do those two go together? Can you fear in love? They don't go together. Okay, keep reading.
Even when we are dead in sin, hath quickened us with Christ.
What texts go together here? Why do we love Jesus? Why do we accept Him? This is the amazing thing. The goodness of God through Jesus Christ. This is the motivation. This is why we accept Jesus. Why do we accept Him? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of the Father. Because of them. Because God. This is the motivation. This is the difference. It's not because of fear. It's not because we beg God, please accept me. It's because He, in our behalf, before we even ask, is working in our behalf. It's because of His goodness. Then why do we accept Him now? Why do we want to do that now? If we delay in accepting Jesus, yes, we're not promised tomorrow. Yes, we may be setting habits that we will never change from. And yes, Scripture does say in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day of salvation. But the biggest reason for accepting a loving, forgiving Christ into our lives today is the blessing and the joy we would miss out on today if we didn't. Why put off the feelings of forgiveness? In the story of David in 2 Samuel 11, the great sin with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah, David thought he was hiding his sin. He thought he had done a great cover-up. Nobody knew. But he wasn't hiding it from God or himself. And it was eating away at him. Turn with me to Psalms 32. This is David after he was found out, after the whole affair was over. And this is what he has to say in Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Did he transgress? Oh, can you fall any more than David did? You'd be hard pressed to. Committing adultery, murder, covering it up, you know. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, not by man, but by God. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Nobody knew, but God knew and David knew. Through my groaning all day long, for the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. David knew. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. David knew. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with song of deliverance. Notice what David is saying here. When I was not speaking up, when I was not asking forgiveness, I was dry. I knew it. Nobody else knew it. I was trying to hide it. But when I came to you, what a difference. Notice verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. David has a message for us today. Why put off forgiveness? Why put off joy? Why put off peace? Why put off fulfillment? And why we were created, and that is communion with God. Why Jesus? Because of His everlasting love and His sacrifice for us. Why now? The joy, peace, forgiveness that awaits us. Don't waste a moment. Don't hang on to the sorrows, the guilt, the anguish. One more moment. Satan and this world have nothing to offer you. The basis for Joshua's decision in our scripture reading early on in our service was on the love of God and deliverance of God. Joshua is saying, look how much God loves us. Because of this, I choose God, me and my household. In Luke 19, 9 and 10, our scripture reading, Jesus today is seeking to save the lost. And that's His illustration, the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and so many others. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and be with me." Jesus gives the invitation. Why Jesus? Because He loved us so much, He died for us. Why now? Because the peace and the joy that He offers us, why would we want to miss out any longer? Not out of fear, out of love. That's the joy He has to offer that we won't want to miss a moment of. Our Father, we ask that You would bless us as we go our separate ways today. May we rejoice in the forgiveness that You give us. May we share that forgiveness, our firsthand experience, with others. May that joy spread to our neighbors, our friends, those we work with, those who we go to school with. May Jesus come soon and take us home. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.